Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'll share that on Rosh Hashanah, I was pushing my community to stay deeply engaged with Israel while it was in this existential crisis of the protest movement and basically practically a civil war inside. And I use the story from the Talmud about conjoined twins, two heads, one body. And the way that you can tell if it's one or two people is you pour hot water on one head. And if the other head screams, then you'll know if it's one body. And it is a very strange analogy, but I guess there was something that even the ancient rabbis understood, that sometimes when things are going well, you don't feel like you need the other, you can ignore the other. But you're really, the true test is if that other head is crying out in pain, do you really not feel anything? And I guess what we learned is we do.
I look in Israel as one before October 7th and one after. The Israel I saw before October 7th was divided. It was to a point where brothers were not talking to each other, sisters were not talking to each other, families were divided. But now what I saw, we are one. We are one big mishpacha, we are one big family. Belev echad ninatzeach, we will be together, we will win this. But I'm also saddened because why do we need such a tragic event to bring us together, to make us realize, guys, you know, we have a common enemy, and the common enemy doesn't care who you are, what color you are, what gender you are, Chiloni, Dati, Parsi, Bukhari, Ashkenazi, Temani, it doesn't make a difference. Because whoever hates us the same.
I'm Rabbi Angela Buchdahl from Central Synagogue in New York.
My name is Rabbi Shlomo Nisanov. I am the founding rabbi of Kehilat Sephardim of Ahavat Achim, Bukharin Jewish Center of Kew Garden Hills, from Queens, New York.
Hey listeners, it's Mishi. So as you know, during these incredibly difficult days, we're trying to bring you voices we're hearing among and around us. These aren't stories, they're just quick conversations, or postcards really, that try to capture slivers of life right now. Normally we bring you local perspectives. Our episode today, however, is a bit different. And in other ways, it isn't different at all. See, the nature of the attacks on October 7th, together with certain subsequent reactions around the world, have blurred the lines between Jews in Israel and Jews in the diaspora. Last week, the UJA Federation of New York brought over a delegation of 28 Jewish leaders, mainly rabbis and educators, on a jam-packed 48-hour-long whirlwind of a trip to Israel. We sat down with two very different members of the delegation, Reform Rabbi Angela Buchdahl and Orthodox Rabbi Shlomo Nisanov, to hear what it feels like to visit Israel in the middle of a war. Ali Muller helped produce this piece.
Can you tell me a little bit about this delegation and this mission that you're on?
So, UJA Federation made a solidarity mission to show support for our brothers and sisters in Israel.
We've met with survivors of October 7th, with families of hostages, with other Israeli rabbis who are caring for their communities. We've seen and been gutted by so many of these devastating stories, and also been so inspired by truly like the unbelievable generosity of spirit that we've seen, and coordination and organization of Israelis. We went to the Hamal in Jerusalem that is like bustling with volunteers, and just the energy of people who have such a sense of purpose right now in this moment and have organized on their own. They really did this like from day one. And it's also beautiful to see many different segments of Israeli society together, not just like, you know, Dati and Hiloni and people from different neighborhoods, but, you know, I saw a world-renowned professor in his 70s of Jewish history sitting next to 28-year-olds doing the same job, basically trying to coordinate rides for people who needed rides or goods that needed to get to, and it didn't matter that he was a world-renowned scholar. He was doing that work sitting at the table. So it's been, in some ways, cracking open our hearts and breaking us more, and in other ways, deeply healing to just be here.
Tell me, what's a moment, I mean, this has been a very intense two-day trip for you, but what's a moment that's going to stay with you?
The greatest moment is when you hear a father and mother talking about not knowing what's happening with their child. After this happened on October 7th, I came home, I gave a hug to my kids. I hugged them, I held them as much as I could. The moment to realize that things could change. In 5-6 hours, the world that we thought we were safe, the greatest army, the greatest everything, came to shambles. How could such a thing happen? And that thing was a rude awakening for us that we shouldn't take things for granted. Things could change. I feel that Israel will not be the same. We are not the same. I am not the same. I am not the same person before October 7th, and I will not be the same person since, and I don't feel anybody should be.
How are you different?
It made me realize that no matter how different we are from each other, we are the same. Coming from former Soviet Union, they hated my guts because I was Jew. I mean, like, it didn't matter to them, and I'm very proud now more than ever to be part of Am Israel, to be here at this moment, just to listen to people. I think by us just being here speaks volumes. Action speaks louder than words. Seeing is believing.
I think every single one of us who came felt deeply that we needed to be here. And I mean, I think the message that we want to send is that we are one people, which I really feel in a deep way. I've never felt as connected to Israel and Israelis as I do right now. And I think that's part of the message that I both feel from Israelis and also want to share back, that I think that we not only share like a common text and some shared history, but there is some way in which our destiny is inextricably linked with each other's. And I've heard from Israelis more than I've ever heard before. We realize we also need America and American Jews. We understand that we're in this together.
Seeing people displaced, going to Yam HaMelech, meeting the people from Be'eri, how they are eating themselves and saying, why did I survive? And my family member, my neighbor, my didn't survive. When you hear 1,400 people died, 240 people kidnapped, it just sounds like a number. When you sit down next to a person who his family member was killed, or to be in a funeral just like we were before and got soaked, and to hear a grandmother eulogizing her grandson, it's like, it's unheard of. It hurts.
I think in the midst of Shiva and a funeral and hostage families, stories that were so deep and intense and hard, there were also such moments of, even from them, resilience and light and hope and the kind of goodness that was coming towards them and their own sense of needing to express their gratitude for the strangers who've basically shown up and, you know, been in their situation room and helped them. And so I think that it hasn't been all darkness and grief. It's also been a reminder of some of the most beautiful parts of human nature when we are confronted with darkness. I'm a rabbi, so I'm always thinking of, how do I understand the meaning of this, and how do I tell this story in a sense that helps make sense of something that you actually can't make sense of? when we went down to the Dead Sea and we saw this like amazing city that's essentially popped up with 15,000 evacuees, and we visited the hotel where like Kibbutz Be'eri is located, I was struck by the fact that they said we were getting all the services. We have psychiatrists and we have social workers coming and we have therapists and we have shiatsu massage and acupuncture and yoga coming, and I was so glad that they had all these needs were being met, but there was not a rabbi to be seen. And not only that, what made me sadder is that it probably would never have occurred to people at Kibbutz Be'eri that they would want a rabbi for their spiritual healing. And I thought to myself, that is such a loss, because I feel like the rabbis should be giving that sense of like, this is the narrative. This is how we put this into the context of like our own, our story and where God fits into this, our theology. I don't know why that's not a part of the conversation at all.
What do you think it will be like for you to go home?
Since October 7th, I think we have seen our American Jewish community unified in a way that I haven't seen before around Israel. The other thing that I think American Jews felt that we shared with Israelis, perhaps for the first time in a long time, is feeling targeted as Jews.
To see anti-Semitism, people going around showing swastikas in pro-Palestinian demonstrations and saying free Palestine, and to see this anti-Semitism in the academia, you know, it's one thing if you're some ignorant, barbaric idiot, you don't know the difference. But to hear this on college campuses, they're supposed to be, you're supposed to get a higher degree.
Of course, what's happening in America doesn't approach anything like what just happened on October 7th and the kind of ongoing physical war that Israel is engaged in. But America is engaged in our own battleground right now, and it's happening certainly on college campuses, but it's also happening in all kinds of arenas, and, you know, in people's workplaces, and even sometimes within families that have different faiths that come together or cultures that are coming together. And we don't really have an organized game plan yet. And I think that every one of us are still kind of in shock and disbelief about the kind of virulent anti-Semitism that has been exposed in the wake of October 7th in America. So I think there is a sense of achdut that I've never felt before, not just because we're all so in pain, but a real sense that we're in this together, and a kind of a raw, pure love that has been exposed.
שומרת עליו ברגעים כאלו הניגון עוד נמשך
החמילים שלן רחוקות כל כך
כמו הגל שברח מן האופק בים אל חוף מבטחים שאיננו קיים
עם אחד עם שיר אחד המנגינה לעולם תישאר
עם אחד עם שיר אחד נשיר לכם כי אתם לא לבד
כולנו ביחד למעל כולם בתקווה שנגיע וישמע העולם
עם אחד עם שיר אחד
ובימים יפים יתגשמו החלומות
עם המילים שאמרנו נוכל לשנות
ילד כזה שחיכה לתקווה
בחיקו של השיר עוד ימצא אהבה
אז בוא עכשיו ספר לי את כל המילים
וביחד נלך עוד באלפי שבילים
אולי נגיע רחוק נראה את האור
נסחף עם הזרם מבלי לחזור
עם אחד עם שיר אחד המנגינה לעולם תישאר
נשאיר לכם כי אתם לא לבד
אנו ביחד למען כולם בתקווה שנגיע וישמע העולם
עם אחד עם שיר אחד
של הסמל להאיר את חייו של הילד אשר בתוכו נעצר
ליבי מתפעם ורוצה עוד לתת
ונשבעתי היום בקולי הרוצה
בוא אליי ילדי כן אני לצדך
מלאכים בשמיים ישמעו תפילתך
שזועקת היום מתוך הדממה
עולה יוצאת מעמקה שמע
עם אחד עם שיר אחד המנגינה לעולם תישאר עם אחד עם שיר אחד נשאיר לכם כי אתם לא לבד
לנו ביחד למען כולם ובתקווה שנגיע וישמע
נשאיר לכם כי אתם לא לבד
כולנו ביחד למען כולם
בתקווה שנגיע וישמע עולם
עם אחד עם שיר אחד
עם אחד עם שיר אחד
עם אחד עם שיר אחד
עולם תישאר
עולם תישאר
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.